Yes, today we are continuing. Last week we did Baruch Shamar, and today we said we are going to be going to Mizmor L'Seida. There is Haidu in between in the art scroll in the Ashkenaz, but we won't be doing Haidu for now. We are going straight to Mizmor L'Seida in the art scroll Siddur. It is on page 64. I think in the Nusach Ari it's 31, if I'm not the blue. I don't have that one in front of me, but I think it's page 31. Okay, so we are looking at this beautiful paragraph, which is actually taken from Perek Kuf, chapter 100 in Tehillim. And I know just recently I actually did a whole shiur on this chapter, so I feel a bit bad, but we're still going to go through a little bit and then maybe even hopefully get a little bit of the next paragraph. But what we are doing now is as follows. We stated that Baruch Sha'amar is the first bracha which heralds in, which begins this second section of Psukei Dezimra. And it tells us what we are about to do, that we have to praise Hashem and thank Hashem and show gratitude and notice all the miracles. And that's what Baruch Sha'amar is stating. So now we have to do what we said we're going to do. Now we are going to begin the songs of praise. And this is the first one that's chosen. And actually interesting, it says that in this song, we'll see, we say to lift up our voices and to be rejoicing. And what's fascinating is that in this small little paragraph, it's only a very small chapter in Tehillim, what we find is that us as human beings, we have the responsibility to lead the world in recognizing the wonders, the miracles, noticing all the beauty of creation, and then leading everybody else in song. And that's what we're doing here. So we're inspired with our gratitude to Hashem, and we start lifting our voices, and hopefully everybody else in creation follows along. Okay, so let's see. What I'd like to do first is just quickly read the paragraph, and then we're going to see a little bit what it is, what it stands for, and hopefully a little bit of insight into some of the beautiful words themselves. As we say, chapter 100 in Tehillim, it's from David HaMelech. Interestingly enough, it actually is one of the chapters which was authored by, goes dates back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though we associate Tehillim with David HaMelech. 11 chapters were authored by Moshe, and this is the 11th chapter of Moshe Rabbeinu's set. And it's a beautiful chapter corresponding to the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Asher, which is known for wealth, and the word Asher means in Hebrew, Aleph Shin Resh, not Ayin Shin Resh, but Aleph Shin Resh is from the word fortunate, also feeling fortunate and happy. And he's a person who's steeped, as he says, in oil and had beautiful daughters and just a lot of beauty and a lot of gratitude in a sense of feeling very, very fortunate. So let's see what the chapter says. Mizmor L'Seida, a psalm for the thanksgiving offering. That's how they translate it, because it was said in the time of the Holy Temple, at the time when they would bring a special offering called the thanksgiving offering. In a minute, I'll tell you what that is. But just quickly to see the psukim, what did they say? Hariu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz, sing in jubilation to Hashem, all the earth. So you see, we're calling everybody to sing with us. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, serve Hashem with joy. Bayu lefanav bernana, come before him with exaltation. Du'u ki Hashem hu ha'leikim, know that Hashem is God. Hu asanu, he made us. V'lo yanachnu, and we are his. Amoy, his nation. V'tzayin marisai, the sheep of his pasture. Bayu sha'arav b'saida, enter his gates with gratitude. Chatzei reisav basehila, his courtyards with praise. Haidu loy baruch hu shmai, give thanks to him, bless his name. Ki toiv Hashem, because Hashem is good. Li oilam chazdai, his kindness is everlasting. Vador vador emunosai, and his faithfulness is for all generations. Just the chapter itself is magnificent, but let's understand what this means. Okay, so as we said, this chapter 100 was said at the time in the Holy Temple when they would bring the Korban Todah, which is interesting just for a second to understand that we said this is part of the second part of davening, the part of davening that we call Psukei Dezimra, and it is not put into the Korbanis part. That is because this is actually a very unique psalm. And what is unique about it? It is the psalm of thanksgiving, of gratitude. The specific korban, the specific sacrifice, which was brought with this psalm, is what we call the korban toida. And there's this famous line that says that all in the time of Mashiach, Kol ha-karbonus betalin, all karbonus will be nullified except for this one. Meaning to say, what does it mean all karbonus will be nullified? Not all, but a lot. Which ones? The ones that we bring because we've sinned. Because when Mashiach will come, we will not sin anymore. God will be revealed and the impurity will be removed from the earth. So what will be left is the sense of gratitude. And that's why this is one of the key sacrifices that will remain when Mashiach will come. And in the same way it says that kol ha-tfilos betalin, all our requests, because we won't need anything, and therefore what we will be filled with is the sense of incredible, tremendous gratitude. And very, very specifically, this carbon was brought in gratitude for four things. If a person crossed the sea, they went across the midbar, the desert, they were sick and they were healed, and if they were freed from prison. And actually, there's a pasuk in Tehillim which hints to that. It says, V'chol ha-chayim yeiducha sela, which means with all of our life, in all of our life, we will be grateful, we will thank, we will praise you. And the word chayim actually stands for these things. Chayle, which means sick, somebody who got sick and was healed. Yam, the yud is for yam, for ocean, for sea. Another yud for yesurim, somebody who went through terrible pain, suffering. And mem is for midbarai, somebody who crossed in the desert. So anyways, all of these four things herald us. But the truth is that really this psalm, when we say it, it's not just specifically for those four isolated things. Rather, all the Chachamim note that what we have to have in mind is not just the great miracles that we experienced in a revealed way. Much deeper than that, all the miracles that we experience moment by moment, day by day, recognizing that we don't even know how many miracles we really experience. We have no idea how many times we are in danger and Hashem saves us before we are even aware of it. That's one of the big things that we say, that when we say this chapter, we have to remember. And that is actually very interesting, that this specific sacrifice that was brought, the Korban Taida, that this was said accompanying it, it says that the sacrifice was made up of many different types of breads. 40 breads, 4 sets of 10. Interestingly enough, this was the only sacrifice that had a mixture of both matzah and chametz. That's why, because it had chametz, that's why we actually don't say this chapter on Erev Pesach, because we can't eat the Korban Taida on Pesach. But what does it signify? It signifies something very beautiful. The concept of matzah is the miracles, right? That reminds us that we left Egypt and Hashem did open, revealed miracles for us. The concept of chametz is the day-to-day normal life, right? When we're living our life in a normal way. This psalm encapsulates that we thank God, we're full of gratitude, both for the chametz and for the matzah, for the big miracles and for the day-to-day, moment-by-moment experiences that we have, some we're aware of and some that we're not aware of. And that's why it's a very, very, very important foundational psalm that actually, as we say, begins the Psukei Dezimra after the bracha of Baruch Shamar. Just another magnificent thing that Rabbi Schwab explains. He says like this, that we said that during the time of Mashiach, you know, we won't have to do all the other davenings, right? We mentioned it last week, because we'll have everything, right? But what will happen is something very interesting. It's going to be almost exactly the opposite of what is now. Now, unfortunately, and it's not, you know, nobody's blaming anybody, but we do suffer and things are not so 100% and people don't feel so well and there are lots of things that go wrong. And the truth is that we notice more the things that go wrong than the things that go right. And most, the more common voice that comes out of our mouth is to say, oy vey. That's what we say a lot, oy vey, oy vey, oy vey. So Rabbi Schwab says when it will come the time of Mashiach, we're going to replace it with a different expression. And it's based actually on a pasuk. I think the pasuk is from Yeshayahu, from Malachi. It says like this. So actually, this pasuk is also a song, but very beautiful words. It says, V'hari kaisi lochem bracha, and I shall pour upon you blessing, ad blidai, without any end. You know, there's a song, ad blidai, die, die, without any end. And what it's explained to mean is, ad sheyivlu sifsoi seichem, until your lips are worn out from saying, die, enough. In other words, that you will have so much good, we can't even begin to imagine this, we'll have so much good that we'll be saying to Hashem, we're just overflowing with so much good. It's enough. We don't deserve it. It's so much. It's so much. We'll be so filled with gratitude. But he asks an interesting question. If you look at the exact thing, it says, until your lips will be tired of saying "dai." The truth is, if you think of the word "dai," when you say the word "dai," which means enough, and like we're going to be saying it's so much good, it's enough. The word "dai" is dalet yud, is actually letters that we say with our tongue. Dai. We don't use our lips at all in that. So he says, what does it mean that our lips will be tired? So he says, we have to read it totally differently. Now in Golos, we are constantly saying, vai, 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 oy vey, oy vey. I'm mostly in darkness. I'm sorry, Lisa, I don't know. On my screen, is that right? On my screen, I'm not in darkness. I'm sorry, I don't know. Sorry, I don't know how to fix it. Sorry about that. So in whatchamacallit, in now we say vai, vai, vai. And the word vai is with the lips. Vai, vai, that you say with your lips the whole time, vai. And he says like this, that what will happen is that at the time of Mashiach, we won't be wearing out our lips with vai. Rather, what we will be saying is dai. That's what we will be full of. So it's actually hard for us to understand that we should be saying enough good, but that's how much gratitude and how much good we will be experiencing, and that will be in the time of Mashiach. And he says that this chapter is actually giving us a little bit of a prelude. We should almost transport ourselves to the time of Mashiach, where we can feel that sense of incredible gratitude, that sense of incredible upliftingness, almost as if we are in the time of Mashiach, where we are filled with tremendous gratitude. Okay, just to see now a little bit more of, yeah. Okay, then we say like this. So it's Hariu LaHashem Kol HaAretz, right? We're calling out to the whole earth because we want to share this attitude. It's another very important and beautiful thing. That's why some people have accustomed to, first of all, we stand when we say this chapter, and also we some people sing it, and it's contagious. Joy is contagious, and we try to not only feel gratitude in ourselves. Sometimes interesting how when it comes to kvetching, we're ready to kvetch to others, but when it comes to expressing gratitude, sometimes we're a little bit more hesitant. But really it should be the other way around. We should share with other people our joy, our gratitude, and that's actually very, very contagious when we do that. So we say, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, right? We serve Hashem with joy. We are trying to explain to the whole world, and we're telling everybody, Du'u no, ki Hashem hu ha'alekim. What does Hashem hu ha'alekim mean? So Hashem hu ha'alekim, the two names of God, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, is Elohim. So we all know that the word Elohim signifies Hashem. It's actually the same gematria, the same numerical value, the numerical value of 86, which equals the numerical value of the word Hateva, nature. Elohim is the God, how he is concealed, so to speak, in nature, the day-to-day normal experiences that we have. But we realize, we recognize, and we have insight to see that in nature is God. It's the revealed God. It's the God which is eternal, which is much higher. That's really the transcendent God. That's really what's running and operating and supervising us constantly. So we are praising Hashem that He, that nature is truly godliness. And we are the ones who can inspire others to actually realize that. Only us, we have that power. Then, you know, in the thing, it also has these famous words, hu asanu. So first of all, we serve Hashem with joy, and we come before Him, birnana, and we say, du'u ki Hashem hu elekim, hu asanu v'loyanachnu. Now, I know I did this when I did the chapter in Tillim, but they're very, very beautiful words. We're thanking Hashem, and we're showing our gratitude that He has made us. And literally, v'loy is with a vav. In the Siddur, it's written with a vav. We are His. But in the actual Tehillim, if you look up in a Tehillim, you'll see that there's two versions. V'loy is written with an aleph, which means not, we are not. And then it is also, and supposedly we're supposed to pronounce it, meaning we're supposed to have in mind the translation of the vav. We are His. Now, what is the difference and what does that mean? What am I saying? When we say hu asanu, He made us, v'loy and not, and then we say anachnu us. What does anach mean? We put ourself aside. First of all, we recognize we didn't make ourselves. Not only didn't we make ourselves, but we have zero control over what will happen to us in the next moment. We recognize, and we're actually filled with gratitude, that there's something much bigger than us that is carrying and taking care and really ensuring what's best for us, because we really don't know what's best for us. So that's the veloy with an aleph, that we are not in control of our of anything really, but yet we say we are his, and that really goes together, because the less we hold on to the control, the more we give him our lives, the more, so to speak, we are in his hands. So the less we take control, the more Hashem holds us, and the more we can actually feel his presence and feel that he is holding us and feel that sense of security. And it's only with that sense of security that we can have the joy that this chapter is talking about, and that we can actually sing to Hashem. And that's the whole idea that we are meant to be doing, is to be singing to Hashem. So that's what we're saying, v'loy anachnu, and not us. And then we say, I just want to see, there was other very beautiful, before we move on, I just want to make sure that I didn't miss something important. Just an interesting thing also, we said this is chapter 100 in Tehillim, and we're mentioning, this is really is part of our Psukei Tzimrah, part of our praise, you know, that second part, the emotional part of davening. But it also alludes to the entire, davening is not only meant to, you know, we do it in the morning, and it's meant to affect us throughout the day. And what we do in order for the davening to spill over throughout the entire day is that throughout the entire day, we make blessings, we make brachas, or we eat something, we see something amazing, right? There are many different times that we make brachas. Some of our brachas are in davening, and some of our brachas are done throughout the day. And it says that we're meant to have 100 blessings a day. And we learn that because this chapter is chapter 100 in Tehillim, right? And it says, Hariu LaHashem Kol Haaretz, the whole earth should call out to God. They should call out to God 100 times a day. That's what we're meant to do. Okay. And now one more thing also. We mentioned the word Bayu Lefanav Birnana. Come before him with joyous song. So this is actually specifically why also it's chosen to be put here in this part of davening. Because it says that when we are davening, sometimes people think, you know, you take a siddur, you say the words, you close the siddur, very nice. That's also good. But the truth is that we shouldn't be shy, and we should really be, as we said, this is an emotional part of davening. So it actually is important to display a little bit of emotion. So it says, don't hide your feelings, but display your joy as you come into God's presence. That's what the Eben Ezra explains. And that's what it means. Bayu lefanav, come before him. Because as we are coming closer and closer to God, up to the time of the Shemayna Esrei, we should be filled with a sense of joy, but we should also display it. And specifically, it's this joyous state of mind that we have to have as we are beginning our davening. That's what it's meant to put us into, because as we say, there's two very interesting, sometimes contradictory thoughts, but a person cannot daven, cannot approach God unless they are in a state of joy, as well as it does say that a person has to be in a serious state. What that means is that a person has to be focused. So it's true that we have to be focused, that we have to know who we are standing before, and obviously that fills us with tremendous awe, but Hashem wants us to be filled with joy. And it can seem a little bit difficult to have both, but when we realize how much Hashem loves us and how much Hashem cares for us and how much Hashem wants us in his presence, that's what can fill us with this sense of gratitude and this sense of joy, and at the same time still be filled with awe that we have the opportunity to stand before Hashem. Then we go on and we say, what are we? We know that Hashem is God, right? He's the one that runs the world. He runs all the nature. That's why everything that happens, all the natural phenomena are really godliness. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. And then we say we are his nation and we are the sheep of his pasture. The sheep of his pasture also shows that Hashem takes care of us. Hashem worries about us and he takes care of us. And just like a sheep, almost like a baby, doesn't worry if the parent will remember to feed them, rather knows that the shepherd will be there to feed us. So too, we should have that feeling that Hashem is there, and Hashem is there to take care of us, which also gives us that sense of tremendous security, which allows us to be filled with joy. Okay. And as we say also that we are just like a shepherd, a good shepherd watches his sheep and protects the sheep from any wild animals. So two, we have to feel that we are under the direct hashkacha, the direct supervision of Hashem. He is mamish like a shepherd who stands there bringing us all together and protecting us from any external dangers that might be around. Okay. Now, one more thing here. Let's see. Sorry. There's just a few beautiful places that I'm getting and I just don't want to miss out because there's some very beautiful thoughts. Oh, and then we say, Hoidu. Okay, so now we're coming before him. Boyu Sha'arav. We're coming into his gates in praise. And then we come into his courtyards, Bitehila, with, so we enter his gates with thanksgiving, and then we enter his courtyards with praise. And the Al-Sheikh explains, and this is also, the Al-Sheikh explains that this was at the time of the temple, when they would come to the temple. So first, obviously, you enter into the outside, you know, the gates, and then after you enter the gates, then you can go into the courtyard, then you can go slowly closer and closer and closer to Hashem. The idea for us is, even though we are not physically entering into the Holy Temple, we know throughout davening we are in the Holy Temple, as we explained, and we are coming closer and closer to Hashem. So we start with a lower emotion, but as we daven, we should be feeling more and more. And that's why it says, so at the beginning with the gates, you come in just with thanksgiving, but then you break out in praises because you're feeling even stronger, closer to Hashem. You feel Hashem's presence stronger and you feel closer to Hashem. And then we say, Haydu Lai Baruch Hu Shmai, right? So we give thanks to him and we bless his name. Many times we have this concept of Hashem's name. What is the concept of that? Because we know that the essence of godliness is way beyond us. Hashem's name symbolizes the part of Hashem which he allows us access to. In other words, a name is there so that somebody else can call you. This is the part of Hashem where he is relating to us as external beings, so to speak, as people. And this is what we say. We thank him. We're full of gratitude. Baruch Hu Shmai, and we bless his name. Why? Ki Toiv Hashem, because Hashem is good. And Le'olam Chasdai. And this is actually very beautiful. So Le'olam could mean forever. His kindness is forever. So there's a few different ways to understand what that's signifying. One way is that sometimes we can be experiencing something which is not so amazing. And we think, well, where is Hashem's kindness? So we have to look at the bigger picture. Le'olam Chasdai means the bigger picture. That perhaps in the moment we don't feel it as a blessing. Hopefully, tomorrow we will be able to understand it in a more blessed way. We'll be able to relate to it in a more kind way. We'll be able to see a little bit more the good intention. Another thing is, ki la'olam chastai, that definitely what Hashem does is good, but sometimes it doesn't feel so good to us. And why is that? Where does that come from? That comes from the concept of olam. The word olam, which we translate as world or eternity, also comes from the word helem, which means hidden. It's because Hashem hides himself. As we know, that's the only way the world can exist the way it does. And because Hashem is hidden, sometimes the experiences that we have, we don't feel them as good, and they don't come down to us in a way that we can feel them as good. But what we should try to concentrate is that deep, deep, deep down, God is there with us, and that deep, deep, deep down, we don't know, and we might never know what the intention is, but there is God close to us, and hopefully, very, very soon, he will remove the blockages and we will be able to feel it as a revealed godliness, which means in a positive way. So when we are experiencing something negative, we realize it's only because of the blockages that Hashem is unfortunately not completely revealed until the time of Mashiach. And then he will be revealed to us. And that's why we say, V'ador v'ador emunosai, that faithfulness is forever. First of all, Hashem's faith in us, but even more, that we continue to have faith because we are hoping for the time of Mashiach when Hashem will remove, as we say, all the blockages. And we will be, as we said before, filled with such gratitude because there will be so many blessings. And all we'll be doing is thanking Hashem for all the blessings. And we will not be concentrating at all on anything negative because we won't even feel, there won't be anything negative anymore. Everybody will be healthy, everything will be good, and the world will be a very good place. And that's what we're waiting for. Okay, yes. So that's the chapter 100 that we say, beginning the Psukei de Zimra. As I said, some people have a custom that they actually sing it. It is meant to be said with emotion. It is meant to be that we should concentrate here as we are beginning our Psukei Dezimra on the personal things that we have to thank Hashem for. And interestingly, yesterday I mentioned in a different shiur, a very beautiful idea that in life, so it's true that we notice the big things, and especially when it comes to good, we tend to notice more like the big things that happen that are good. The smaller things, unfortunately, the small frustrations, we feel more. But putting that aside, what we have to try and shift is that we should start to notice the small good things, which means the little miracles that we don't call miracles. They're natural phenomena, but they're miracles because they're godly and they're wonderful and they're incredible. And if we could concentrate, and that's what we do now with our davening, is to focus, that's what we're focusing here, that we can sing and we can notice the small things. Yes, to mention how a baby is born, watching a little child, anything in nature, you look at nature and you see the wonders of Hashem, and then not only the wonders of Hashem in the big nature, but the wonders of Hashem and how He takes care of us as individuals and in the small things, that allows us to begin davening with a sense really of gratitude and in a positive frame of mind. So that's very important part. That's what we start with. Now we come to the next paragraph. And the next paragraph in our Psukei Dezimra is a very interesting one. It starts with the Pasuk, Yehi Chavoyd Hashem Li'olam. In the, I'm sorry, I don't have the Nusach Ari, but it's somewhere like page 33, I think. But it's in the art scroll, it's page 64 and 65, and then it goes on into page 66. It says, Yehi Chavoyd Hashem L'Olam. This paragraph is not one chapter in Tehillim. This is a gathering of verses put together. They think it's at least 1,300 years that it's been part of our Siddur, so it's quite an ancient paragraph, from different places of Tanakh. Beautiful psukim, and very specific and very exact. And it says that the Arizal actually says that the way these verses were put together have incredible deep secrets. They have deep secrets in the names of God and Kabbalistic meaning. So we obviously try to do them in the right order and say it properly. We might not understand, but when we say it, we're tapping in to those tremendous, powerful parts. But what we're going to see also is interesting thing. Now, you can do it later, you can do it now, but what's fascinating is if you look at this paragraph of Yehi Chavoyd Hashem Li'olam and you count it, you will see that it has the name of Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, 18 times. I think so. It was 18 times the name of Hashem. And it says it corresponds to the Shemayne Esrei. This is the second part of davening. And every part of every step on the ladder has, so to speak, is in itself complete. So it has 18 times the name of Hashem. And it has 21 verses altogether. Interestingly, that if you count it, you might not find 18 times. There's one time that it's actually a Rosh HaTevis, Yismechu Hashamayim V'Sogel Ha'aretz makes Yud Kei Vav Kei in that Pasuk. So it's there hiddenly, but there's one time, but 18 times, and then 21 verses. Also, you have to break up one of the verses. What does it symbolize? So it says a beautiful thing. The concept of the 21 verses is fascinating, because this part of davening, Yehi Chavoyd, is the paragraph that we say before we will say the next paragraph, which is known as Tehillah LeDavid, or we call it the paragraph of Ashrei. As we mentioned, the paragraph of Ashrei is really, that is really the center of the Psukei Dezimra. That is one of the main chapters of the Psukei Dezimra, where we really thank Hashem and we praise Hashem, and we'll see why it's considered the main chapter. It goes in the order of the Aleph Beis. But this paragraph that we're saying, the Yehi Chavoyd, is the introductory almost paragraph leading to that one. And very interesting that the paragraph of Ashrei also has 21 verses, just like this one has 21 verses. And Kabbalistically, what that means is that if you take, there's a very beautiful pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to the burning bush and Hashem was introducing himself to him, and then Hashem said to him that he should go take the Jewish people out of Egypt and he should tell the Jewish people about God. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, what should I tell them if they ask me, what's your name? And Hashem replied to Moshe and he said, Ehye Asher Ehye, right? I will be who I will be. And the word is Aleph Hey Yud Hey. Aleph Hey Yud Hey has the gematria, has the numerical value of 21. So there's 2 times 21 in that verse. Ehyeh, Hashem says about himself, I will be whom I will be, and I am the one that redeems the Jewish people now. I am the one that will redeem the Jewish people in the future. So this paragraph of Yehi Chavod, 21, and the paragraph of Ashrei, again, 21, together they make 21 times 21 is 441, which is the gematria, the numerical value of one of the big words, emes, truth. That is God. What does that mean? So God is truth. What does it have to do with davening? Truth means something which keeps its word, which is constant, which is consistent, which doesn't fail you. That's what truth is. In other words, truth is something that we can trust. If somebody is somebody that we can trust, they always keep their word. That is absolute truth. Here, as we are beginning our Psukei Dezimra, and we're getting into that emotional state where we're filled with gratitude, and we're noticing God in everything, one of the key basic things that we have to have as a foundation is that trust, that ability to trust. And we can see here that Hashem shows us He is truth and He is eternal. And therefore, definitely, He is one that we can trust throughout any part of our life, throughout any experience that we are going through. Hashem is there with us. And that's Kabbalistically, so to speak, in an overall way, what the depth of this paragraph is. Let's look at it a little bit inside and see a few of the psukim and some of the beautiful meaning of what the psukim tell us. So we say like this, we begin, Yehi Chvoid Hashem La'olam. May the glory of Hashem be forever. Yismach Hashem b'maisav. May Hashem find delight, may He find joy in His works. Yehi Shem Hashem Mevayrach, may the name of Hashem be blessed, may Atav Yad Olam, for now and to all eternity. One more pasuk I'll read you, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevayay, from the rising of the sun to its setting, Mehul Al Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem is praised. I just want this third pasuk, and then we're going to come back to the first pasuk, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevayay, from the rising of the sun to its setting. What does that mean? We know the sun rises on the east, it sets on the west. As we're saying that our davening is taking place on many different planes, you know, we are physically here, sitting with a siddur, but we're also a little bit transported to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Holy Temple, where we are slowly entering deeper parts of the Holy Temple and holier parts. And obviously the goal is to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, which is where we will be at Shemayna Esrei. So we say an interesting thing, if you study the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, they would enter on the east side and they would walk towards the west. The same way that the sun does, the sun rises on the east and it sets on the west. And what does that show? That the entire creation, the entire world, is actually serving God, and slowly, as the day goes on, coming closer and closer to the holiest parts, representing the holiest parts, because we say Shechina b'mayriv, the Shechina is in the west, as is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that section. So we're going in that direction. So what we notice is that it's not just us, and it's not just the holy place of the Beis HaMikdash, but everything in nature, all the trees and the waters, and we're going to see in the other paragraphs of Tehillim that we choose in the Halalukas, but everything in nature, the birds and the animals, everything is actually moving in a certain direction. They are moving in the direction of coming closer to God. And while they are doing that, they are singing and stating and announcing, so to speak, and proclaiming that there is a God, and that they are, what they are doing, how they are moving, how they are growing. And this is the whole process, as we are saying, that we are putting ourselves, our mindset, into that. But just to begin from the beginning, as he says, Yehi Chvoid Hashem Li'olam. It's very interesting. We say that Hashem created the world, right? And we ask Hashem, and first of all, we want to know who's saying this. It's like a proclamation. May the glory of Hashem be forever. According to some opinions, it's the angels that say this. And there's a specific angel that's appointed, and he announces every single day, may the glory of Hashem be forever, and may Hashem find delight in His works. But what does it mean, may the glory of Hashem be forever? So it explains very beautifully. We said before the word olam is world, but it also shows I mean, the world that we live in, the world is a world where Hashem is concealed. That's what the word Olam comes from, concealment. Hashem is concealed, and therefore, because godliness is concealed, that allows, there's actually something good about that. What's good about that? The good about that is, it's only because Hashem is concealed that a human being has free choice. If godliness was totally revealed, obviously we would have no free choice. There would be only godliness. Everybody would choose good. That would be the absolute. But because Hashem is concealed, therefore it allows for the human being to have free choice. And here Hashem is saying to us that although it is challenging, it's true it's challenging, and it does lead to a lot of challenges for us, but you should know, Hashem says, that I rejoice in my works when they choose correctly. It gives me pleasure, and it actually brings honor, kavod, glory to Hashem, when we as a human being make the correct choices. And that's part of also, it's interesting, as we're talking about praising Hashem, we're praising Hashem for everything. For, as we say, for all of nature, for just even things that work physically, but also for our spiritual abilities and for the fact that we were given this tremendous gift that we can choose. And then we, what we're saying also is that, as we see, that Hashem rejoices when we use that free choice properly and we make the correct choices. So while we are davening here, we have in mind that we ask Hashem to help us make the correct choices, to guide us, to give us inspiration that we taka should choose correctly, even though it is free choice. Hashem could still help us along. That's what we say. So that's part of it. That's part of these magnificent words. Yehi chavod Hashem li'olam, let Hashem's glory be forever. And his glory should be in the world. I just want to see, because there's a lot of very beautiful ideas here. Okay, also we say that, we ask Hashem, it's also another request, we say, Yehi chvayid Hashem la'olam, that in this world which naturally hides godliness, we ask Hashem that his glory, his kavod, should become more revealed. Allow us access, allow us to feel you, Hashem, even when you are really hidden. And hidden could be just generally because Hashem is hidden, or in our lives when we're going through a patch that's difficult, where Hashem does feel distant and does feel concealed. So we ask him, Yehi chvayd, allow your honor, your glory to shine through even in those moments. And as he, and beautifully they say, so that to allow us to accept and to live with you with a feeling of love, even though we don't always understand why you've chosen to do certain things for us. Also, we say Yehi, the word Yehi is like, it's actually begging almost, like a Lashon Bakasha. It's a real deep request. And as we said, we have a Yetzirah, we have a evil inclination, that's why we have free choice. And in a sense, interestingly, that also is what makes us higher than the angels. Because the angels, it's true, they can sing constantly to God and they serve God, but they don't have a choice. They naturally serve God. We have to consciously make that decision to serve God. And that's part of it also. That's what we're mentioning. And we're, so in a sense, we're praising Hashem, but we are at the same time also asking Hashem to help us along. Just want to see. Oh, another interesting way to put it, Yehi chvayd, that allow us to bring honor to you. That's another big request. We know, as we said, we have free choice, and we know that the world is sometimes, Hashem is concealed, and we experience things that are challenges, and we know that sometimes when we are in a challenging time, it's not so easy to react the correct way. It's sometimes very difficult, very, very difficult. So we ask Hashem for help, that we should bring the one to bring the glory of Hashem revealed in this world. In other words, we as human beings who have a godly soul and represent God in this world, we should make the right choices, thereby bringing honor to God into this world. All of these things in this one small phrase. Another thing also we say, when we say Yismach Hashem b'maisav, that Hashem should find delight in his works. So we ask Hashem also that the mitzvahs that we do, as we say that we, you know, when we do a mitzvah that's occasionally, you know, we're always excited. But we ask Hashem that even the mitzvahs that we do every single day, like davening, we should find joy in it. That we, well, here it talks about Hashem finding joy, but Yismach Hashem b'maisav, but also we should find delight. So Hashem finds delight in his works, and we should find delight in connecting to Hashem. That's what we ask. Let's see. Okay. And we say also, it's actually also a statement. So it's a request and a statement. And we say, Yismach Hashem b'maisav, that we acknowledge, even though sometimes it doesn't look that way, we acknowledge that Hashem actually has joy in giving to all of his creations. And Hashem wants the best for his creations. That's why he created. He created us only because he's full of kindness and goodness and compassion, and he needed a recipient for the kindness and the goodness and the compassion. He wanted it, he didn't need. He wanted a recipient. And therefore, what we say to Hashem is that we accept that. We're aware of that. We're aware that you rejoice with us your work. And your works, so to speak, and that we are the handiwork of Hashem. That's also b'maisav, in his works. That also helps us focus and remember that we didn't just come here out of nothing, but we are the handiwork of God. Another very important thing for us to remember when we reflect sometimes on our faults and our, you know, and our little whatever that might be wrong and things that we might not be able to do so perfectly. So what we do is we remember that we are actually the handiwork of God. If we are the handiwork of God, then we are exactly the way Hashem wanted to create us. We're not perfect. That's not what Hashem wants. But Hashem wants us the way we are. But then what we have to do is make the correct choices with what we have. That's what's up to us. So again, to remember that we are Hashem's creations. Okay. Another interesting thing, the word Yismach, it says, is may the Lord find delight. That's the future tense. Because the truth is, when will there truly be real joy of God in this world? That will be in the time of Mashiach. That's when it will be revealed. And there's a very beautiful pasuk that the Radak brings. It says, "V'galoisi b'Yerushalayim." I think "V'galti b'Yerushalayim," that I will be rejoice in Jerusalem, "V'sasti b'Amai," and I will again rejoice amongst my nation, which means that there will be that Yeshma Gila, her name, that Yerushalayim almost will be called Gila. What does Gila mean? Gila is joy. That there will be a revealed joy in Jerusalem at the time of Mashiach. Why? Because all of creation and all of people and all of mankind will be doing the will of Hashem. That will happen, please God, in the future very, very soon. And then, interestingly, the Sfas Emes says a fascinating thing. Another thing to keep, it's like all a little bit, you know, each thing is another interesting way of, another angle of how you keep in mind. It says that this, like this, that the truth is that we're talking about joy and we are meant to live our life with joy. But what we also have to realize, and I think it's important, this is a very important point, that sometimes, you know, we say, well, that's a very high expectation because life has a lot of challenges. So how could it be that even within our difficulties, we should be filled with joy? So here we see a very interesting thing. The Sfas Emes says that true joy will only be, when will there be true joy? Only during the time in the future. Right now, we shouldn't expect ourselves to be filled with joy in a complete way, because that's actually an impossible task, because life does have its challenges and there are things that are always wrong. And we know, even by a simcha, you know, there's always, like some people say it's better like that, but there's always something, like whether somebody can't make it or something's not 100%. That's how it is in this world at the moment. But when Mashiach will come in the future, then there will be absolute, pure, 100% joy. But why we have to remember that is not to feel bad, but rather that our expectations should be a little bit less, in a sense where we shouldn't feel disappointed, because that's the way it is. Ba'olam hazeh ein hasimcha b'shleimus. In this world, joy is not complete. That's why it's in the future tense. And also we say, Yismach Hashem b'maisav. Another beautiful thing. Yehi chavayit Hashem li'olam, right? That Hashem's glory is in this world. Well, they say forever, but in this world. Which means that Hashem didn't find it beneath him to put his honor and his glory where? Even into this lowly world. Even to us simple people, we should be the recipients of Hashem's kindness and of Hashem's revelation and of the fact that we have the ability to even connect and to daven to him. And this is what makes Hashem happy. So it's actually quite an incredible thing that it's Hashem's will that we, who are really not very, you know, we're just ordinary people, we have the ability to make Hashem happy. That's magnificent. Yismach Hashem v'maisav. You know, you see it in little children. Little children display their emotions very clearly, and they don't hold back, right? They don't have inhibitions. So you'll see that if somebody older or somebody that they really love comes in, they love to serve them. They love to bring them something. And they love the recognition that they get from the person that they're admiring. And we should feel that with Hashem, that the fact that we have the ability to make Hashem happy, that's beyond incredible. We're just simple little me. And my davening, Hashem actually even cares if I even opened up my siddur today. Well, that's pretty tremendous. And then I saw I know there's so many beautiful things, we're not going to do all the psukim inside of all of the psukim de Zimra, just a few ideas. This is the theme of the chapter. So he says a very beautiful thing. He says, also, I saw another beautiful thing, that when we serve Hashem, we should realize that this idea of Yihi Chavod Hashem Le'olam Yismach Hashem B'maisav, that we are so fortunate that we are able to give Hashem joy, that we should be like, there's an analogy given. If somebody is a king, whatever, an important person, and you get a job and you work for him. So sometimes the king might be asking you to do very important work. I don't know, sort, file his paperwork, sit with him in his office, take notes, whatever it may be, at an important meeting. But it could be one day that the king says you have to clean the bathroom or you have to take out the garbage. So a person who's thinking about themselves will find it demeaning when they're given a job which is lower. But a person who's just happy to be serving the king doesn't mind. Whatever the king asks them to do, they are just so filled with gratitude that they can serve the king. And that's what we're saying here also. Yismach Hashem b'maisav, right? That the fact that Hashem finds delight in his works, in us, that's what makes us happy that we can serve him. And it doesn't matter what he's asking us to do. It doesn't matter what is requested of us on that day, how challenging it might be, and how, in a certain sense, small it might be. Some days if somebody's not feeling well, they're not able to accomplish a tremendous amount. And then we think, was it all worth it? If Hashem just wanted that day that you should give a half a smile, or that you should just, even if you can't even smile, I don't know, that you can just live and survive that day and have even a fleeting sense of gratitude to Hashem, even that is considered tremendous to Hashem on that day. And that's where we say, wow, the fact that we have the ability to give God nachas, to give God joy, that's a privilege that we have. So we don't find discrepancies with what we are doing, rather just how we are able to do it on that time. Okay, then we go on and we say, Yihi Shem Hashem Mevayrach, right? May the name of Hashem be blessed. Me'ata v'ad olam, because we know that what is revealed in the world is only the name of God. God is much too high in his source to reveal himself. And we don't get the essence of God, but we get just a reflection, the name of God. And as we explain the Mizrach Shemesh, and then we say, Ram al kol goyim Hashem, the Lord is high above all nations, al hashamayim kveida, his glory transcends the heavens. I want to go to one more pasuk here, and then we talk about how Hashem has established his throne and his kingship is over everything. And then we even explain that not only we, but the whole world will proclaim, you know, that Hashem is the king, and that Hashem was the king, and that Hashem will be the king. Again, showing Hashem is the one, the master, the ruler, the conductor over everything. A very beautiful pasuk going to more towards the bottom. Rabbis machshavais belevish, many are the thoughts in the hearts of man. Va'atzas Hashem hisokum, but it is the counsel of the Lord, they translate, that endures. The Eitzah of Hashem, there's many ways to explain this pasuk, but just want to say two very, very quick ones, very beautiful ideas. Rabbis machshavais, in a simple way we say that we have many thoughts, right? We have many good intentions, but hopefully good. The truth is, it could be anything. Sorry, simple. Many thoughts are in the minds of man. Sometimes they're good thoughts. Sometimes they're not such good thoughts. The only thing that will actually happen is what Hashem intends to happen. So we know the idea, obviously, is that who's in control, who's in charge, who runs the world? It is Hashem. And we could want from today till I don't know what, but if Hashem doesn't want something to actually happen, it's not going to happen. But there's deeper ways to explain it. And we say that a person might be filled with many, many thoughts, which can represent many good intentions. We say people are filled with good intentions. But a lot of times it's quite difficult to translate those intentions into the practical, into the actually being able to execute them. So that's why what we're saying here is actually part of it is recognizing that, but also to ask Hashem, please, when we do have good intentions, help us that we should be able to practically do them. That's why we say, because we know that it is only your Eitzah, it's only your counsel, it's only your, what you want to happen that will actually happen. So therefore, we're asking you a favor to translate all of our good and positive thoughts to actuality. But also to remember, Rabbeis Machshavos, that a person can be filled with many different types of thoughts. And a person has to realize, Belevish in the heart of man. A lot of times a person thinks in their heart that they, when we're talking about Machshavos thoughts, we don't intend that, but we feel that we can project almost like, you know, what will happen tomorrow. We make our plans in our mind, you know, the next day we think we know what life is going to bring. I mean, we know we don't, but on a certain level we do. And here we're acknowledging and we're saying that we must constantly jolt ourselves back. Every time our thoughts run away with themselves, we should bring them back and refocus and say, Be'ezras Hashem, Emirtza Hashem, whatever we think we can think. But it ain't going to happen if Hashem doesn't want it to happen. And that's why actually the word he, and some people say, is the Rosh HaTevis of Im Yirtza Hashem, backwards. So Hashem should, if Hashem wants, then it's going to actually happen. So we have to constantly remember that while our minds are running away with all of the good thoughts that it has. And that's why the paragraph actually also ends, V'hu Rachum, because the truth is that we have good intention, but sometimes we make mistakes. But what we acknowledge at the end is that Hashem forgives. As we say, V'hu Rachum Yechaperav, and Hashem is compassionate, and He doesn't destroy, and He takes away His anger. And therefore, we ask that Hashem should deliver us. May the King answer us on the day that we call. This is part of our, as we're saying, because we are davening. The idea here, as we see throughout the theme, Hashem runs the world, Hashem is in control of the world, but not just the big world. The harder thing for us as human beings is to remember that means us as little people. Which means, of course, that we have Hashgacha Pratis, but even more than that, that our plans, we have to constantly remember that our plans and that our everything we do only happens because Hashem allows it to happen, and if Hashem will allow it to happen, and when Hashem will allow it to happen. And we have to constantly refocus that Hashem is the big king over the whole world. He's eternal, past, present, future. But what that really means is that us little individual, the one small little thing in this big world, is being supervised very specifically, very individually by Hashem. And therefore, yes, it's good to have good intentions and we should try to think good things, but remember that it's only Hashem that will actually make it happen. And it discusses, this is the idea of bitachon, and a lot of it comes in with the idea of trusting in Hashem, but also mentions the concept of Yosef, who also had certain things in mind, but they didn't happen the way he meant them to happen. And that's another thing also. When we have good intention, we should try our hardest that we should a little bit separate the exact execution. In other words, so we think we want to help somebody, which is a very good thing, and then we think, well, the best way to help them, and then we go into detail exactly what we're going to do and exactly how it has to happen. But you know what, Hashem, as we say, a mensch tracht und Gott lacht, right? Hashem is there, He's laughing, because He says, you had good intention, and maybe I'll help you, Taka, to help this other person, but it's not going to happen exactly the way you planned it. It's not going to happen when you exactly planned it. It's going to happen when I decide. So we have to realize and not get all flustered that, yes, we have good intention, and of course we have to make plans, because otherwise we won't practically be able to do anything, but all the while realizing that the way it will play out is the way Hashem designs it to. Atzas Hashem Hisokum. So it's the way Hashem designs, that's the way it will play out. So we have to allow ourselves to be a little bit flexible, a little bit less rigid, a lot less set in one way, and allow that if Hashem wanted it to be this way, it's this way, and it's okay. It's more than okay. But that's part of the process of really internalizing that Hashem is the one who runs the world, and then that will allow us, and that's what we'll do in Mirtz Hashem. Next term is the Ashrei. We will go on to understand, and we'll be able to truly sing to Hashem will truly be able to sing to Hashem, Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha, which we'll talk about next time, and the whole Aleph Beis, and the praise, and the realizing that Hashem supplies us, Paiseach Es Yadecha, He supplies us with all of our needs. Okay, so I'm just going to unmute if you have any questions.